I would sit there and ask myself, is this what you want to do? Are you this level of dog crazy? I just naturally wanted to share what was going on as a, I guess, content creator, but I was also doing it as an advocate for the breed.
You have built multiple social media accounts to pretty large followings. And like, we've done that once. To do it multiple times is very impressive. And I just think it speaks to the value that you're offering your community.
I think we're going to get to a point where more and more people are switching because they're tired of having to go to the vet.
What advice would you give them?
Clean up your own diet first. The human component and the human experience is very much integral to the healing of the dog.
Welcome to the BK Petcast. I'm Bryce. My wife Kinsey and I created this podcast to help you enrich and extend the lives of your dogs and cats. And today, we're joined by Hannah Zulueta. Hannah Zulueta is a blogger, content creator, and pet health advocate. She has an incredibly popular blog called Daily Dog Food Recipes, where she shares tons of tips, tricks, and hacks on how to improve the health of your pets at home. Welcome to the Petcast, Hannah Zulueta. So first of all, Hannah, thank you so much for being on today. It's not very often, it's becoming more lately, but it's not very often we get to talk to other content creators in the space. So it's pretty cool to kind of have that shared connection, but we're very excited to kind of dive deep into some topics today and learn all about you. So thank you for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. And so to get started, can you just kind of introduce yourself a little bit, talk about who you are, what you do, and how you got to the point you're at today?
Okay. Well, my name is Hannah Zulueta, and my first part of the career was actually not in dog nutrition. It was in hospitality, and I did that for 20 years. And I realized one day when I was in Park City and I was running, and I did FaceTime with my boyfriend, and he was on a sailboat with my dog, having fun with my friends on July 4th when the weather was beautiful. I said, what am I doing here in Park City when everything that I love is back home? So at that point, I made an exit plan and I stopped that career. And I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to offer consulting services. And that was about 9 years ago. And I did that for a little while. And about 2 years ago, December 2021 is when I decided to get into pet nutrition formally, actually dog nutrition, because I don't know cats.
They're a little trickier for sure.
They are very tricky.
You do a lot of different things right now. So you do your classic video content, you have your blog, you also show dogs. How did you get into showing dogs is really, I really want to talk about right now. How
okay.
did you get into that? And then I'm also curious how nutrition plays a part in that, because the first thing I think of is skin and coat health. Like, that's the exterior layer. That's going to be, I'm guessing, a primary thing that judges are judging. So
yeah.
Does everybody feed fresher food? Do you see some dogs on kibble? What's that world like?
Okay, so I got into dog show world. I started going to dog shows maybe 9-10 years ago. And I did the classic walk up to a breeder and say, hi, my name is Hannah, and I'd like to buy a dog. And the breeder just looked at me and said, yeah, we're not doing that. That's not how you do it. And so I joined the community, and I learned what it was like to raise an ethically well-raised purebred dog. And I didn't have one at the time. I got what they call a pet dog from an ethical breeder, but I still went to all the dog shows. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I got my first show dog when I realized, okay, this is something I want to do. And I was going to all the dog shows, maybe even traveling 5-6 hours to attend
wow.
these week-long shows. And I would sit there and ask myself, is this what you want to do? Are you this level of dog crazy? And it was at the Del Mar Dog Show a year and a half ago. I went up to the breeder and I said, you know what, Terry, will you please put me on your list? And I was scared of her. I was petrified of her. She just intimidated me. She's well known in the community. And she has had Boston since she was 3. She's a horsewoman and just well respected. And I thought, she's not going to put me on her list. And she said, sure. I've been waiting for you to sign up. And so that was my first foray into the dog show world. But I've had dogs my whole life. And I've always been interested in nutrition myself. I was the kind of person that was tracking my own food on an Excel spreadsheet before we had apps or
Oh, wow.
websites to do that. And I was keenly sensitive to feeling what food did to me. And at that time, I was running a lot. So I was doing a lot of marathons and half marathons. And I realized if I eat this way, my legs give out. But if I eat this way, I can go for 10 miles or whatever it might be. So I do a lot, but I like to explore and have fun. And
Yeah, I love that.
so then how did you go from your interest in nutrition to kind of having a career with, you offer consultations and courses. So can you tell us about that journey?
So with my other two dogs, Maggie and Orbit, Maggie will be 9 next year, Orbit will be 8. I was already starting to talk about dog nutrition on their Instagram account, and I've got a website under their name. And so I just naturally wanted to share what was going on as a, I guess, content creator, but I was also doing it as an advocate for the breed. The breed is known for having skin and coat issues and allergies, and my own dogs had allergies, and I wanted to share my own journey. So then about almost 2 years ago, I kind of looked at what I was doing and it just felt wrong, and I thought, this is not what I want to do. And mind you, I'm in the later part of my life, so I turned 50 earlier this year, and I didn't want to have any regrets. So I said, what is it you want to do, Hannah? And we're always asking this. I'm sure you are too. What do I want to do when I grow up? And so I said, okay, I think I want to start this dog nutrition professionally. And I'm not afraid of startups because who I worked for 20 years prior to working for myself was a startup. So we kept starting up. We would go into new resort towns and literally from blueprint all the way up to opening the doors to filling the hotel. That was a muscle that I developed. So I figured if I learned the muscles, if I established the discipline and how to do that, I can do it for myself. So it was very easy and seamless. And I transferred my old nutrition articles to daily dog food recipes, redirected it, opened the doors, and then I started offering consulting services.
That's amazing. And I have to say, I'm so impressed with what you have done because you have built multiple social media accounts to pretty large followings. And like, we've done that once. To do it multiple times is very impressive. And I just think it speaks to the value that you're offering your community. So with your consultations, when somebody comes to you, what are they experiencing most often, and what are they getting from you to resolve that?
When I first started, I thought, what do I want to offer? Okay, I'll teach people how to make food. And it was everything from kibble topping to home cooked and raw. Well, I've since dropped off the kibble topping and I only now offer home cooked and raw. But where the first clients that I had, I was teaching them, this is how you put together a meal. It evolved to more the healing side of the business, and people were starting to come to me through referrals saying, my dog has allergies, my dog has yeast, I've done multiple biome tests, whatever it might be. I've recently been getting a lot of kidney cases. And so that was the second evolution, was the therapeutic diets. And I said to myself, well, I only have so many hours of the day. I can't continue to help people because I believe in balance. I don't believe in working late hours. If I do, I'm studying or creating or researching. So I thought, well, let me open up a academy, nutrition school, whatever you want to call it, and offer courses to teach people my way of looking at the body. It's not necessarily my way, it's just a different way of looking at the body. And so that's where the course side of it came about. And now that I'm in acupuncture school, the next evolution is to do this for humans, because the human component and the human experience is very much integral to the healing of the dog. And so I realize I can only get so far if I don't address the human that's putting that bowl down. So that's now going to be the next phase, but I have to finish that education first.
I love that. It's kind of a twofold thing where you offer things to help the pet, but you also want to offer things to help the pet parent, because both of them benefit when you help either of them. So you mentioned that you're studying acupuncture right now. How far into it are you, and are you noticing parallels between the human and the canine world?
Yeah, absolutely. How I came about it was I'd always been interested in Chinese medicine, and I looked up Qi University. And when I was about to apply, it said only open to veterinarians or vet students. And I got depressed and I sat back and I went, I can't learn this.
Yeah.
So you have to be a vet first, because you have to learn anatomy of a dog, physiology of a dog, and all of that. So, I had a call with my mentor, Dr. Dennis Thomas, and he's a retired vet, but he practices Chinese medicine. He does tele-vet health, and he would be great to have in your podcast.
Amazing.
In any
Wonderful.
Event, I reached out to him, and he said, well, why don't you learn it for humans? It's the same thing, but just different anatomy. And I went, I never thought of that. So I went online and I looked it up, and I saw that there was a campus 9 miles from me.
Wow.
So I toured the campus, and at that time I was 49, no 40, I forget. So I toured it, and then I thought, I can't be going back to school at this age. And I toured on Monday was, no, no, I toured on a Tuesday, and I was registered by Friday.
Wow.
Like so I'm 1 year into the program, and unlike the veterinary branch of it, where you go to vet school and then you go to Qi University for humans, you go in for 4 years. And the reason why is you have to learn Chinese medicine, you have to learn biomedicine, and it's also a doctorate in herbalism. So I'm going to have Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and herbalism by the time I'm done. And I have to pass the boards. So there's, I'm 1 year into it, 3 years away.
Hannah, can you tell us more about food and medicine being synonymous?
We are what we eat. You've heard that. And in biology, you take in something, ingest it, that's non-self, and it becomes self. The Chinese knew this from 5,000 years ago, and that's been coded into the culture. So anyone who's grown up in that kind of environment in a country that embraced that, a lot of that was already coded into how you cooked and how you fed and all of that. It's not just the only branch, it's just one branch of Chinese medicine. And that's when I don't think I answered your question earlier, Bryce, if I'm already seeing, yes, I've shifted completely how I consult with people and what they get from me. So when they come to me, I do a full intake, and then we meet over Zoom so I can ask all the different questions to understand what is really going on with the dog. And during that time, if there's any sort of energetic qualities that will influence what goes into that healing package, whatever it might be, and the recommendations, that's going to be taken in and diagnosed at that time. But going into back to food and medicine, so herbs, food, they enter the body and affect different organs. And depending on what's going on with the body, then I can decide, okay, we're going to put in, for lack of a better word, we're going to put in Brussels sprouts instead of asparagus. And why would that be? Well, Brussels sprouts for this particular dog that's having digestive issues is going to center the energy. It's going to keep it in, where asparagus is growing up and out. And so depending on what it is I'm trying to do to the circulation of that body and that dog is how I'm going to put that together. And the reason why that came about is 2 months into nutrition, I was getting everybody's microbiome and I would read it and I'm like, they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
It would say had this bacteria, and you know, nothing is classified by the bacteria that's in the microbiome. And I remember I sat here, and for 1 week, I cross-referenced all the different vegetables to figure out the scientific name so I could figure out what bacteria it was that was being talked about in this microbiome so I could decide, is it peas or asparagus? And I'm like, there's
Wow.
gotta be an easier way. I'm like, okay, step back, breathe. Okay, where do they talk about energetics? Ayurveda or Chinese medicine? So I decided, wait a second, I know Chinese medicine. We all know Chinese medicine. So I dug out all my texts and then I started to formulate diets that way. And that was phase one. And then phase two, going to school and learning all about the different channels and the pathologies and etiologies and all of how the body's affected by what the dog's exposed to, not only what they're ingesting or the environment or the climate. Then I can adjust, and I'm trying to find my pendulum. So if you think about homeostasis, we're trying to be in balance. And sometimes when it's really hot out, the body starts to freak out because we haven't changed and adjusted what we feed our dogs. It's similar to what we do as humans. We inherently change what we feed ourselves because our gut is connected to our brain, but we don't do that for our dogs. And so through the classes that I teach, through this little community, I'm doing my best to show people how to have a very keen sense of observation to go, okay, what's going on with your dog? Are they hot? Are they hot in the absence of moisture? Are they damp? Or do they need more circulation? What can we do? And it doesn't necessarily mean it's food. It might be go out and walk your dog.
Yeah, definitely.
Or go out and massage your dog. And you know, it's not always food.
So, with dealing with a lot of different clients and a lot of different situations, I'm sure you've run into some misconceptions that pet parents have when it comes to canine nutrition. What are some of the most common ones?
Oh my gosh. Do we have time?
I know, right?
Gosh, I would say that people want to add things. What can I add? And a lot of times I'm looking to strip things down and clean it up because we live in a time of excess. Anything can be delivered to our door with a swipe on Amazon or going on to the internet and ordering something, when in fact we need to give the body time to breathe. And I used to hold, have a cup in here, and I would, I don't have one, but I would put a cup here next to me when I would consult with a client. And I just start putting random things in it. I'm like, this is what we're doing when we're adding this supplement and that supplement and this ingredient and that. And I would just wait for the cup to spill over. The body doesn't know what to listen to because we've overloaded it. And a lot of times we need to remove things. Just like if we were to redecorate this office, I'm not going to start moving in all the different furniture and paintings and rugs until I clean it up, step back, and go, what am I looking at? And then we can decide what goes where for that particular dog. So that's one misconception is, what do I need to add? When a lot of times it's what do we need to simplify? And then the whole feeding the same thing every day, I think that that's not good for humans. It's not the best for dogs. Those would be my top two.
I love what you said about taking something out or cleaning it up rather than just adding things in. We had a friend reach out to us recently that said, "Hey, you know, I'm experiencing some inflammation. What could I eat that's anti-inflammatory?" And we can give all sorts of different suggestions of sardines and turmeric and whatever. But the question to be asked is, what's causing you to have this inflammation? And how do we
Right.
eliminate that source of inflammation so that we don't have to just add other stuff in? Because there's a really interesting concept that we have had to learn about in the last like 6 months or so, which is that we can often use holistic and integrative practices in conventional ways to just treat symptoms and not the root cause. So that's been tough to grapple with a little bit, but it's so interesting.
So if someone was about to start their journey, if they're just diving into this world of cleaning up their pet's diet or switching them to a freshly or just a more fresh diet, I guess, doesn't have to be either one. What advice would you give them?
I'm going to answer this from the perspective of now my new love, which is human health, is I would say clean up your own diet first. Once you experience that for yourself and you see what it does to your own body, you'll have a deeper understanding in how to aid and help your dog live a more vibrant life. And so I find that's easier because if someone understands, oh, when I eat a lot of processed food, this is how I wake up and this is how I feel. And if they started to eat clean food and started making their own food, then they will see that they'll wake up and they'll feel lighter, they'll feel more vibrant, they'll feel more energetic, and they'll look at their dog naturally and go, well, I want you to feel like this. Let me figure this out.
I love that. And so, what do you envision as the future of pet nutrition? Do you see, I feel like we can kind of feel this trend of like fresher food. People are starting to care more about what they eat, and in turn, that kind of reflects into their dogs. Do you see that movement kind of continuing?
I do. So my neighbors now feed fresh food.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he got his recipe from his bank teller of all places. And
Wow.
big pit bull rescuer, and he's got three big pit bulls and they had allergies. And the story goes that he just came back from the vet and he went to the bank and he was telling the teller, they were friends obviously. And she said, well, you know what? Here's what I feed my dog. She wrote it down on a little back of the, financial money envelope, and she gave it to him. And so if my neighbor, who's not on social media, who used to go to Petco and Costco, is now feeding fresh food and loved it so much that he then walked two houses down and taught our other neighbor, who's got Mastiffs,
Oh my
and
gosh.
and then he then showed his mom how to do it. And now my sister's feeding fresh food, and I tried on her for years. And I said to him, I'm like, hey, how are your dogs doing? He goes, they're just not swollen anymore. I went, well, that's a great way of explaining it, just they're not inflamed. I think we're going to get to a point where more and more people are switching because they're tired of having to go to the vet. It's going to break them down. So you're e either going to keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, or you're going to try something else and hopefully get different results. I did get his recipe and I said, can I have it for a second? I want to balance it for you. I'm like, let's make sure it's got some calcium, let's make sure it's got this and all of that. So I think that as a society, we are shifting to be more health focused. How we get there is going to be from all different directions because we're all from different walks of life. I think as an industry, we're still in the infancy. If I were to draw parallels to acupuncture, so acupuncture, has been in China for 5,000 years, officially 2,500 years because of the printing press. But if you go onto PubMed and you know how to use PubMed and you start looking at when did studies first start to appear for acupuncture? It was in the 70s. And then you look at that bell curve and that line and when it happened. What happened in the acupuncture industry is what is happening in the raw feeding industry and the fresh feeding industry. The medical establishment did not accept acupuncture. The veterinary medical establishment does not yet accept, except for the few that we love, fresh feeding. So we're right at the very beginning. And I think that as more companies start to publish data and as more of us continue to have dialogue with our conventional vets and going back to dog shows, I know that when the judge is touching Mr. Higgins' coat, he's going, well, he just feels different. Because I touch the other dogs, I'm like, yeah, he feels different. And I think the proof is going to be in the pudding. So we keep doing that. And that's what happened with acupuncturists, as we said, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. The community came together, more research funding was invested, and people started getting acupuncture, regardless of what the Western medical society said, because it worked. And it's not to say that it's better, it's just a facet to healing. And that's what's going to happen with canine nutrition is just like my neighbor started feeding his dogs fresh food, taught our other neighbor, taught his mom. I think we're going to see more of that. And as a community, I hope that we continue to grow and band together to get that word out. And the proof will, and you know what will happen is we'll see the big box stores close down. And I don't know if you guys follow the financial news, but there's one that, you know, is in a little bit of trouble, and they may close down or shut down some stores because the consumer ultimately, where we spend our money, is going to dictate where the industry is going to go. I hope to continue to help those that come my way. I'm fatalistic that way. My dharma is healing, so whatever the universe delivers to me and however I can help, I'll help. And in 3 years, open it up to humans as well.
I love that.
I'll be there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll be knocking on your doorstep. I'll be like, I'm ready.
Well, I'm
I can refer you
curious.
to people in the meantime.
Oh, I love
Great.
it. I love it. I'm curious if we're gonna see like an industry-wide shift. The only thing I can really think of is kind of when kibble was really becoming popular, or excuse me, when I think canned food was becoming popular, and then I think it was World War II happened and they had to, ration all the metal and dog food became non-essential. I wonder if we're gonna see a big shift like that. And then I'm also wondering, do you think that it's gonna be bigger companies buying smaller
Yeah.
fresh food companies as it becomes more popular? Or do you think it's gonna be people replacing these big companies?
I think you'll see a combination of both. I was at not Petco, Costco 2 weeks ago, and I saw at the end cap where they normally have, you know, the shrimp and all of that, they had Freshpet. So they had
Wow.
a big, flat freezer. You know when they have all, it's kind of exposed. It's not in the closed door freezer, but it's on this tray of ice. So I saw Freshpet at Costco. Now I do know people who have done business with Costco, and you have to have a lot of inventory to work with someone like Costco. They can either make you or break you
Yeah.
because of the margins that they look for and the volume that they look for. So when I saw that, I said, okay. Kibble's in the back. We've got Freshpet on the end cap that everybody walks by. So
Wow.
even if you're not feeding fresh, you're gonna go, Freshpet. Now it may not be what you and I might feed, but for someone who's never even been exposed to anything else, that is pretty big.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're not gonna see the small companies have that kind of muscle. Unless they get some venture capitalist funding.
Yeah.
But I think the industry is going to shift. It always does. That's evolution.
Yeah. And you think about companies like Mars that just bought up Champion Pet Foods, which, for those of you that don't know, they are owners of Akana and Origin, who are, a big producer of the grain-free food. I think Origin even has like a freeze-dried raw line. So you're seeing these big companies already try like start dipping into this industry. It's just one of those things. You hope they don't buy up all the small companies and then make the changes that they tend to make.
Yeah, that will happen though. I think
I'm sure.
that's a given. Yeah.
Absolutely. So Hannah, before we wrap up today, I'm sure a lot of our audience is going to be very interested in the content that you offer and the services that you offer. Where can they find you? Where can they connect with you? Social media, website, stuff like that.
My website is dailydogfoodrecipes.com. Thank you for asking. And I'm on Instagram, dailydogfoodrecipes.com. I'm not publishing as much content right now because I'm so busy with just
Understandable.
school, and I just had a midterm yesterday. It was 80 herbs, and it
Wow.
was 80 herbs, Chinese herbs, so the Chinese
Ooh.
name, all the functions,
Oh
all
my
the organs that
goodness.
it enters, all the flavors, what can it be combined with, what does it look like? So it would be just a photo of an herb. And so all my waking time is either spent with studying clients, walking the dogs, and relaxing. And in the kitchen, I'm in the kitchen probably 2 hours a day.
Oh, I love that.
That's
That's
amazing.
amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on today. I think that we're going to have to do this again because I have a lot more questions that are going to go deeper into some of the topics we touched on. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge with our audience.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And for those of you that are watching or listening, thank you so much for choosing to spend your time with us. As always, I'm Bryce.
I'm Kinsey.
And we'll see you in the next episode.